Welcome to yet another episode of African Football Unfiltered with yours truly, Kamogelo Motetswane. Yeah, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you guys listening in on yet another episode of this fantastic experience. As you guys know, I cannot do this show by myself. I always have to have an esteemed guest with me. And today is no different. As a matter of fact, today might be my most esteemed guest yet. She is a very prolific figure within South African football structures, a former SAFA executive, a former owner of a PSL club, Rea Stars. They are currently no longer in existence, but she lives on and is looking as youthful as ever. I have Maria Ludoba with me today. Thank you so much for joining our show, ma'am.
Oh, thank you, Kamogelo. Kamogelo, yes. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you. I'm here, ready to speak to you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I just wanted to start maybe from the beginning of your SAFA vice presidency. If I'm not mistaken, that was in 2018. You started off well, and you were so eloquent, and you were. And everything that was coming out from you and from the organization was a message of harmony and of unity. But your relationship with the still president, SAFA president, Danny Jordan, has deteriorated quite rapidly. I just wanted to understand what happened in the last couple of years that has led to this breakdown in relationship, not just between the two of you, but between you and the organization of SAFA as a whole.
Well, I think from 2013, when I was elected as the NEC member, I've dedicated myself to serve football. And that's exactly what I did from 2013. If you remember, in 2019, I was assigned to establish the Women's League, which is running now. It's called the Hollywood League. And I did that by going around the country to all the provinces to speak to the owners of the teams that are going to participate in that league. And we came out with that league at the end of it. And everything was going well until in 2020, I think it was in 2020, I had a cordial working relationship with everyone that was in the executive, everyone that was in the administration, until I wrote a letter to the president to indicate that I have been approached to serve as a president in the next election in 2022. Mm. That's when everything went sour. Mm. And obviously for a reason, and I think I did exactly what anybody who's a vice president would do if you approach. I wanted to sit with the president and hear his view. If he allows, if he says, but why don't, you know, I would have wanted to have a conversation with him. Not that I would have wanted him to give me permission. I just wanted to hear him as my leader to be able to say, this is the approach and I feel, and at that time, I remember vividly that at that time, I didn't even commit to anyone. You know, when I was approached, I simply said, guys, can you give me an opportunity to just talk, just to check with them, what would they think if I would accept, you know, or I shouldn't accept, you know. I wanted that kind of just a kind of advice from the leaders in the country. I remember Veli Mahlangu, who was one of the executive of football for a very long, the owner of Witbank Aces, when I called him, he was the only person who said to me, Rea, I do not doubt that you can change the status of football in the country, but it's going to be a very difficult challenge to challenge the existing president.
That's unfortunate. And I guess it led to everything that transpired during your run at presidency. You've spoken about how you had come up against stumbling blocks on your way to being elected as president, from being denied the opportunity to speak to representatives in the LFAs, to your press conference being postponed at the end of it. Do you think that this was something that was being constructed internally, like to get you to leave that position of trying to contend for president?
Obviously, there was a deliberate move by the president to make sure that I do not have contact with the leaders of the regions. So for me, I strongly believe, and I think that's the truth, there was just a deliberate move by the president to make sure that I do not speak to the regions. And meanwhile, he was in communication with the region every time. There were a lot of AGMs that came, special extraordinary AGMs that happened within that space of time, probably about 4 or 5, where a night before he will have all the regional president into that meeting to discuss with them, and he had all the opportunity, obviously, as Ntate Matangu has indicated, somebody who's a president have got a privilege above somebody who's coming to challenge him. So for me, I still believe that if the opportunities were given for me to be able to speak to the region and they understand where I'm coming from, you know, in terms of the organization, and it was never in terms of rubbishing the president's name in any way. All what I wanted to do is to show the regions that we are not, this organization lacks a lot in terms of making sure that we have our national teams intact, we have our junior leagues intact, we have our development at LFAs intact, because there is just so much that needs to be done in football. But I strongly believe that I would have made a bigger impact in terms of what I've seen in terms, because I've been there, I've been in the junior leagues, I've been in the PSL, I've been in SAFA structure. So I know all the structures and I know the difficulties that the teams are having down there while they affiliate every year to play in this different leagues. But when you look at what they get for just an affiliation, so my view is that, in fact, the teams are actually running the South African football. They are funding, let me put it that way, they are funding South African Football Association without getting any reward for playing in those different leagues.
Mm, that's interesting. And I guess it's a nice segue to the question I wanted to ask, because You speak about how you started the Hollywood Bets League and it's going well, but before that there was the Sasol League, and yeah, it just feels as though there's an over reliance on commercial companies to try and build the football, women's football specifically. There's an over reliance on commercial companies to build women's football up. Should SAFA be taking more ownership of trying to establish or professionalize women's football in South Africa?
Yes, it has to happen at some point. But you know, all over the world, you can go all over the world. The federations, the associations are assisted, are partnering with business out there. You can't do it alone, you know. But I feel that there must be some kind of sustainability in terms of funding within the organization. So for me, I feel like there is so much that we haven't done that we could have done with the legacy fund, for example, where each region, for me, should have at least an office, a proper office, you know, a proper office with proper fields, with something that generates, you know, a cafeteria sort of where they come, if they play their drinks, they can buy drinks, but it's money that goes to the region. Just commercialize a bit of your internal structure so that you are able to never depend on grants or never depend on the sponsor that are coming on board. When they come on board, you must be self-sustainable, at least to an extent where you can run your organization without having any issue. I was speaking the other day with the president of one region. Yeah. One of the things that you were saying they are sustainable. They are very sustainable in the region, basically because they have the support of the municipality. You know, the municipality around them are helping them with a lot of funding to be able to not wait for any grant from SAFA or any amount that should come. So and they run their teams are affiliating, they've got more teams in the region for them to be able to sustain themselves with it. That's why I'm actually saying the teams are actually funding, you know, the South African Football Association to be able to run. But if you look at what they get, do they get any prize money? Do they get any soccer balls? Do they get any outfit? You know, those are the things that a team needs soccer balls. So if I affiliate, I would expect to get at least 10 balls, you know, 5 practice balls and 5 playing balls. Then I know that my region, I have balls that if the teams are struggling to buy from their own, when they have a game, at least from the region, we come with a proper soccer ball to play. Those changes can only come when you have new ideas and also bringing the legends into the picture, those that played this game, so that they also give some input in terms of what they did all over those years that they played.
So yeah, so you speak about the legends. You speak about them quite a lot, actually. And you wanting to involve them. What role do they have in helping our football progress to the next level, in your opinion? What can they bring? What expertise can they bring from a legend perspective?
The legends are as frustrated as the teams out there. But my view with the legends is that we have school sports. Everywhere where our legends are, there are schools. So if you take school sports and give it to the legends, you know, because you have an associate member, the legends, it would create such an opportunity for the South African Football Association to uproot, you know, to develop football from school level. So for me, the legends will play such an important role at schools, because you are not going to pay for their transport. They are there. It's in their area where they live. They just have to identify and say, in this area in Soweto, how many legends do we have? How many schools do we have? How do they share? Then you give them the platform and you fund the development that they are going to do at those particular schools.
You were speaking earlier on, you were speaking about the legacy fund, 600 million, if I'm not mistaken. Who was in charge of overseeing that specific budget and what it does? Was it the NEC? Was it the SAFA Exco? Was FIFA also there? Who was overseeing it? And are they to be held accountable as far as like it going, it just depleting over the last decade or so?
Yeah, the South African Football Association, together with the FIFA, they set up the trust and they appointed trustees. FIFA had 3 trustees and SAFA had 7 trustees. Yes, of course, when you are a trustee, you are a director of a company. You are serving there like a director of any company. You become responsible, you approve, you disapprove. The funds that were put there to develop football further in this country. I strongly believe that SAFA has applied for money specifically for the junior leagues, for the women's leagues, the Hollywood League, the regional league, the men's regional league. But I am not convinced, especially that I can confirm that the money that was requested on the 16th of April 2021 for the regional leagues, because I was following up as a trustee in the NEC whether that money has been paid. And the answer that I got is the money was never paid to the regions. In fact, the regions will not even know that there was money requested on their behalf, because that request did not come from the region, it came from national office.
Are you guys not all a collective when you decide on a project that's decided to be funded? Like, are not all the trustees consulted when you're considering an application?
Yeah, we are in a meeting. We get into a meeting and make, but I must say that all application that came from SAFA, they did not come from, remember, everything that happens at the association must come from the NEC. You know, we have subcommittees. The subcommittee for finance will bring a recommendation to say we need to apply for money for the regional league, and this is our proposal. The NEC will approve that, and when it's approved, then an application will go to the legacy trust. But that's not what happened. What happened is that the CEO and the president will sit and speak about what needs to go there, and then an application will come. The NEC, in most cases, what we received was simply a report that comes from the legacy trust. But we have never, at any given point as NEC, make a decision that we are requesting for so much. We only receive a report that there was an application made for this amount, and that amount was approved. So I think until people understand the structure of football, it becomes very difficult for a journalist like yourself to understand exactly the problem with the structure of the organization and also the individuals that are running those organizations.
Wow, yeah, that's quite a hectic situation. As far as the how everything was construed and how the money was able to get one place from another without your guys' consultation, in a sense. But yeah, just speaking about the legacy trust, obviously this was a trust as a result of the 2010 World Cup, and South Africa have been big advocates of trying to host the 2027 Women's World Cup. I just wanted to get your opinion, knowing what you know and seeing what's happened within the organization as far as the money that we got for the 2010 World Cup. How do you think that having the World Cup in South Africa in 2027 will develop our women's football, in a sense, realistically speaking? And do you think we're best suited for hosting such an occasion?
I think we are, because we do have the facilities, we do have the knowledge. We have run the World Cup 2010 very successfully, and I believe that the World Cup in 2027 for women will actually uplift the standard of women in the country. But the structure of SAFA has to change. It cannot. There is a say that if you can't, when you are the creator of the problem, you can't solve that problem yourself. It has to be I strongly believe that SAFA need to be restructured properly. We can't have 47 members of the NEC that takes money for themselves every time they come to a meeting. For what good reason? You know, you need at least 9 executive members that are representing all 9 provinces. You can have additional 3. You need independent people that have got the knowledge of bringing the sponsor into the organization. If you have a 15 NEC, I would think you would be saving football profitably. You go to FIFA with 52 federation, they only have 24. You go to FIFA with 200 and something, they only have less than 40 members in their executive. So why would SAFA have 47 members unless if it's for some personal benefit for individuals? Because I really believe sleeping in the hotels, remember, you must pay for their hotels, you must pay for their food. That is the money that should be used for development of football. That's the money that you can give, put it aside for the legends, for school sports. There is no cent for school sport. There is nothing for development of football that has been budgeted and say we have at least 5 million rand that we are putting aside for development of football in this country. So I'm saying it can't be that the same people that have not given this country after the 2010 what this country deserved in terms of the 600 million rand that was left. Remember, the legacy trust was only applied for in 2013. So as I speak to you today, it's less than 10 years that the legacy trust, the 600 odd million rent has already been dispersed. So I'm just saying there's so much that money could have done in this country.
I agree with you. I totally agree. We should be way further ahead as far as we have the potential to be the best, one of the best football countries in the world. So, yeah, it's frustrating when you hear things of this nature. But I guess it is what it is. We get to celebrate our women who did well at the previous World Cup. They made it to the round of 16 of the 2023 Women's World Cup. They were actually one of 3 nations, African nations, to progress to the knockout stages. I know you've spoken a lot about governance and how big of a role it plays in taking our football to the next level. Do you think that the same is true for every other African country as well? Like, if Morocco also wants to take their football to the next, women's football to the next level, they also need to better governance. Nigeria, same story. Or yeah, what in a continental sense do we have to do to get our African teams to play better at these tournaments?
I think Morocco is one of the African countries that are doing something right. You know,
okay.
If you look at just a few years ago, Morocco were not there in terms of women's football. But look at, they even went to the World Cup, you know, because when they lost the bid to host the World Cup, they dedicated the funding, all the funding that they have for development of football. They brought experts into Morocco to be able to develop. And that's why even their boys were in the semifinal. It is not by luck. It is the work, the development, and the correct usage of football funding put priority into development, not put priority into individuals. For me, you never see men coming to dominate the Banyana Banyana game, unless if it's those NEC that has been transported, you know, that has been funded to come to the game, funded the flights, funded the accommodation to come. But we're saying, but you'll find women there. And there are so many women in this country with capacity to be able to take over the reins and be able to run football with passion. Not to run football because you are there and I must be understood. I'm not saying men should not play a part.
Mm-hmm.
Men can still play a part. And that's what we have advocated. Even when I was the chairperson of women's football, we said we want to have more women in this committee, you know, of women's football, but we need capable men with passion to come and join to advance. Where is that committee? So go and look at the constitution of SAFA. There is no women's committee. It has been dissolved. Why?
Just if I may play devil's advocate, SAFA recently appointed Romani Pinnick as the head of women's football, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if you know what her role is or who she is, but what should her focus as far as women's football be? And do you think that she actually has a chance of making a tangible difference in the game of women's football?
Well, I have no idea who she is. I've never met with her anywhere in my football career, but I'm not saying she's not a person that can take women's football. If she has the capacity, probably SAFA appointed her on the basis of an interview. And I'm hoping that there were interviews. She was not handpicked, because that's what SAFA does. They handpick people, put them in that position, and then when they fail, they fire them. You know, so I'm simply saying I have no idea who she is. I think I saw something. I thought I will have time to just check her profile and see whether she has been in football. Probably she has. And I'm only hoping that she will be able to bring some change, some value into the structure. But where I'm standing, South African Football Association is a one-man show. I don't care who says what. The bottom line is that the president of the organization makes all the administrative decision. He makes all the decision. If he doesn't want anything that the CEO would want to do, it will not happen. You have seen a letter from the vice president writing to all region, telling them, giving them misinformation about the legacy trust. Where have you ever seen a vice president writing a letter when there's a CEO? The CEO is there. The executive of SAFA, they are politicians. They have nothing to do with administration, including the president. The president can only monitor the CEO to make sure that she does the work that she's supposed to. Remember, the CEO only. So if you see a vice president writing a letter, it tells you that there is so much lack of governance in an organization.
Yeah, that's never pleasant to hear when talking about a football federation, football association. And then just to end off the long form questions, will you be running? Do you plan on running again for SAFA presidency?
No, but I will always be an advocate of good governance. I will always be an advocate of better structures for football. I will always be an advocate of development more than any other thing in football. I will always advocate outside, and no one can stop me. No one is going to stop me to say, no, she doesn't have locus standi. What locus standi? I've been in football for decades. No one can tell me I don't have locus standi in football. In fact, a lot of them don't have locus standi because they are there by default.
Yeah, Maludwaba, I'd just like to thank you for the good work you continue to do for South African football and try to push an agenda of good governance within it, because as clearly by this conversation, it seems that it's the thing that's holding us back. And then just to end it off, I'd just like to ask you some 5 quick questions, just random questions regarding your life, your personal life, career, all of that. If I can just pull them up. my first question is, which was the team you supported growing up?
I supported Sundowns, and my family supported Chiefs. All my brothers supported Chiefs, but I just love the play. You know, the time of Skrima Tshabalala and Zola Mahobe there, that's when I really supported Sundowns then. But because I had my own team, then I had to be biased to my team.
Yes. Shushai non piano. Yeah, that was a good brand of football. And then your earliest football memory?
Well, the Champions League for me was the competition that made youngsters to thrive, you know. And as long as we do not have that kind of a competition, I don't think our youngsters will ever be able to understand where people like myself come from in terms of football.
Okay, definitely. And then what's your favorite holiday destination, if you had to pick one?
Milan.
Oh, Milan.
My birthdays, I go there, and all the shopping, all the best design shop, it's in that street where I sleep. So I just love just going there and experience the shopping, even if there is no money, but just to get into those shops. To see the different design of clothes and all that. But if I want to relax and say I just want to have a peace of mind, my final destination will be Seychelles. And
okay.
10,000 few people, very, very few people there, but it's a destination where if you want a peace of mind, you can be able to go there.
Definitely. Yeah. Hopefully some people will be taking your advice soon. and then which one did you enjoy? Which one did you enjoy more? The 96 AFCON or the 2022 AFCON?
I can only be able to enjoy what brought trophy. What did bring a trophy to me means nothing. You know, they did play well. The boys tried their best, but for now, the 1995, 96, it's still what we celebrate today. Nothing else.
Okay. And then just to round it off, what series are you currently watching? What TV shows are currently piquing your interest at the moment?
That I watch.
Yeah.
My favorite TV is TBN. Where I watch spiritual, I'm a very spiritual person. I feel fulfilled when I watch those pastors there. My favorite pastor there is my own pastor, Pastor Matevola, and Pastor Joel Austin. Those are the years. T.D. Jakes there, and there's this young man, the young Stephen Fortek also. Those are the pastors that I always watch on TBN, but I also watch Moja Love.
Okay. of course.
My favorite one there is X-Ripple. I can't miss that one. Because for me, there are so many South Africans that have been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
of their possessions. They have been taken from one pillar to another by companies where they bought things and they don't get it. But ex-repo, he goes there, he comes back with the results. When he goes there with the truck, when he comes out there, the truck is full of what he did. So there is no excuse, and he's very, very strong. He does what he's asked to do. I've never seen him fail in any way. I always see him going there and helping some poor South Africans that would have been robbed like 10 years. They didn't know what to do, and they gave up. They went to the court. The court didn't help. They went to the police. The police didn't help. But ex-Rupo went there. One day, he comes back with the results. With
everything. Of course, of course, of course. Yeah, I think a lot of South Africans share that sentiment as far as ex-Rupo is concerned. But yeah, well, that's it from us. Thank you. Thank you all for tuning into the show today. And I'd like to just thank Marianne Dwaba for availing herself and availing her time out of a busy schedule to talk to us and give us an insight into what's happening behind the scenes of South African administration and its football. So yeah, if you want to get involved in the conversation, please find our social media pages at SNL24SA to get in touch. Thank you to our guests. Thank you so much, Marielle Dwaba. It is an honor. It is a pleasure. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on all the platforms that you can find us. And yeah, we'll make sure to keep the legends and the honored guests coming for your spectacle. We hope you enjoy. Thank you so much for your time today, Marielle Dwaba. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kamohelo. Thank you very much for this opportunity to talk to you. And as always, I'll always make myself available if I'm requested to answer the questions that are never answered by anybody.
We appreciate that and the good work you're doing. So please have yourself an amazing day. And to all our listeners as well, we hope you guys enjoyed it. We will see you next time.
Thank you.